As part of our Climate Solutions series, today we hear from China, where a landscape architect is trying to rewrite the rules of urban development and make fast-growing cities more resilient. NPR's John Ruwitch has a story.
In the shade of a willow tree, a man named Li Tao and his buddy are having a relaxing afternoon. They toss lines into a slow-moving river and occasionally pull out tiny fish.
It's good to have a place like this for people to relax.
This place, called Baisha Creek, has come full circle. The bank used to be concrete, but several years ago, work began to restore wetlands here. Rushes now grow in tall stands, and weeds thrive on the shallow bank. It wasn't so different 50 years ago, when the designer of this park, a man named Yu Kongjian, was nearly swept away by the water here. He was 10 years old.
And it was a huge flood. But I survived. You know why? Because I grabbed the willows, the weeds, the reeds along the riverbank.
Decades of turbocharged development meant that that riverbank and many others in China got paved over in concrete to channel the water away from a growing city. Textbooks said that was the thing to do, but Yu says it hasn't worked.
All this industrialized solution has some failure or have some bad side effects.
He argues that not only would concrete banks have made it harder for a drowning kid to clamber to safety, flooding has gotten much worse because of so-called gray infrastructure. Almost all of China's medium and large cities are now susceptible to floods, and Yu says 60% of them actually experience flooding every year. Heavy rainfall has become more frequent and intense due to human-driven climate change, making matters worse. So Yu has been evangelizing a solution he calls sponge cities. That is, urban landscapes that are purposely designed to absorb more water. In Yu's words,
you actually are playing Tai Chi with nature, not boxing with nature. You actually play Tai Chi with nature.
It is revolutionary from that point of view, because he's pushing boundaries on what it is that landscape architects do.
This is Gareth Doherty. He's an associate professor of landscape architecture at Harvard University, and he says Yu is turning to the natural world for solutions.
He's pushing boundaries in terms of the environmental aspects of cleaning water and working with monsoon, working with rain, working with environmental processes rather than against them.
When Yu started to pitch the idea over 20 years ago, he says people thought he was trying to undermine China's development. But he lobbied hundreds of officials over the years, and it slowly caught on. One of Yu's early projects was a few miles from where he fell into the river. A flood wall was failing to protect the area from annual inundation.
So instead of building the flood wall higher and higher, I removed the concrete wall and terraced the riverbank.
He terraced the riverbank, planted natural grass, willows, and reeds, and installed ponds and permeable paths. Sun Zheng An is a groundskeeper at what's now known as Yanweizhou Park in the city of Jinhua. He says earlier this summer, a typhoon hit with heavy rain and winds that toppled trees. But the spongy park worked.
The water drained quickly, and there wasn't much pooling.
About a decade ago, Chinese leader Xi Jinping endorsed the concept of sponge cities. And now dozens of cities around the country have sponge elements. This nature-based solution is also being deployed elsewhere in the world, too, in places like Auckland, Berlin, and Seattle. Yu has become perhaps China's best-known landscape architect. Some even call him the Frederick Law Olmsted of China, a reference to the man who designed New York's Central Park a century and a half ago and put landscape architecture on the map. In the town of Wangping in suburban Beijing, a barren swath of mud, rocks, and debris stretches alongside a river. Locals say it used to be a wetland park, the kind that's supposed to help manage flooding. But torrential rain led to deadly floods during the summer that wiped it out. A volunteer helping with the cleanup says it was simply no match for the extreme weather. Some experts say this kind of devastation shows the very limitations of the sponge city concept in a changing climate. But Erica Guys, author of a book about water management called Water Always Wins, says that may not be the right conclusion.
People see a city in China flood from a heavy rain, and then they say, oh, sponge cities doesn't work. But that's a fundamental misunderstanding of scale.
And it's scale, actually, that's the biggest challenge that sponge cities face in China and beyond.
It's a growing movement, but it needs to grow a lot faster and a much bigger scale for it to really help reverse the really extreme scale at which we have altered the natural water cycle.
Whether it can reach critical mass is an open question. For his part, Yu says he'll continue to lobby officials at home and abroad because many still don't get it.
We still trust that concrete can solve the problem. We still trust that technology can solve the problem.
And that mentality, Yu says, not the concrete, is the hardest thing to break. John Ruich, NPR News, Beijing.